All right, this is Centaur Views. My name is No Sense.
And this is Victoria.
This is a podcast where two Sagittarius people come together and give their opinionated views on cultural topics.
Disclaimer, you will be offended. Don't at me.
All right, so this is Centaur Views. This is your boy, No Sense.
And you, girl, Victoria the God.
So remember to like, subscribe, and share on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Music, Stitcher.
That's a podcast.
Yeah, wherever you can listen to your podcast. And also, we're on Facebook and IG.
What do you do? It's been a minute.
Your life.
What's going on with my life? Every freaking thing. That's the reason why we can't get together and have a podcast. So, my life has been very jam-packed. I am currently working on a lot of things. So, I just got a new job. I'm like 2 weeks in, and it's a lot. It's in a whole different... I want to say genre of music. It's in a whole different, it's a career pivot. That's the best way I can put it. So a whole career pivot, and that's taking up a lot of my time. I am working on the Sacred Temple, which is my coaching business. I have a private group that we're activating. Well, we activated at the beginning of the month to start helping women be their authentic selves. I am working still on my book. I'm trying to find I have an illustrator, but she even hit me back up, so I might have to find another illustrator to finish my cover, or start my cover, I should say. We were performing at one point at poetry, and that kind of stopped, but besides that, homeschooling still. Trying to find a place to live still. It's a lot of going on. What about you?
Well, like you said, performing, but I mean, we stopped the consistency due to things out of our out of our hands.
Out of control.
Yeah, so we still got some things that we're looking into and working on, and we might not be in the city. So we'll keep you guys posted on that. And now that the world is kind of opening up, we can move forward with other things that I personally want to do with my comedy. But other than that, I've pretty much just been like you, not looking for a new job per se, just looking for something still inside the company. But you know, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. Been still writing a little bit more, you know, trying to get back in the groove. But you got something for this week, Two Cents?
Two Cents. I don't even know what's going on in the world. I have not been keeping up. I've been trying to stay on social media to get my life together. So I don't have any Two Cents besides take care of yourself, because I burnt myself out last week. I was exhausted, and just because the world is a little bit opening up doesn't mean that COVID is gone and it's still alive. Like, I still know people that's catching it. Like, please make sure that you're still taking care of yourself. This is not, we've been in this thing for a year now, and it's nowhere near normal. Like, it's still not normal. I don't think that we are really processing what is happening to us right now. But, just take care of yourself.
I find it funny that people are actually having conversations where they're saying, which vaccine did you take? I took the Pfizer.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Conversation. But I actually have a Two Cents, though.
Oh, what's up?
I mean, I know you've been out of the loop of social media in the world, but you know about DMX? In hospital?
I have heard about DMX, since our brother.
Yes. And both of us have been fans of him, you know, He was, what, our high school? He came out when we were in high school, middle school. So it's very upsetting to hear when somebody, especially dealing with addiction, which you know how we both of us feel as far as mental health and that things of that nature goes. But my two cents really is against how it's such a double standard when it comes to our race and these type of issues. Like, I see a lot of negativity as far as, you know, he's just a junkie and, you know, he deserves what happens to him. And I'm thinking, like, this didn't happen when Little Peep OD'd or when Mac Miller OD'd. Like, I didn't see this much hate. There were some people who, you know, it's the internet. People are going to be like that. But as the amount, the percentage-wise, it's, you can't click on nothing without seeing a negative comment, and it starts arguing. And it's like, if this happened to someone of a different race, think about it. Rock and roll is sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's the motto. And you say, oh, well, that's all they rap about. Well, that's all rock and roll, you know, was. So it just, it you still see like that double standard to this day of where, you know, why Barack had to be that clean, you know, in order to become president. It's just, when you kick a man that's down, that's struggling with something, and it's not like he was, you know, I'm gonna do cocaine and then he had that addiction. No, he was laced. He was 15. He was hanging around with someone he thought was his big brother, a 30-something-year-old person, who laced his weed with cocaine, and it caused this addiction. So addiction is not something that you get over. It's, you're an addict for life. And I feel like we're not giving him the same. Now, I can't say we because I'm not in that, but people on the whole, they're not giving him that same type of respect or consolation as if it was on a person of a different color.
Yeah, I haven't seen any. All I've seen was, on my Facebook, I mostly follow Black people. Oh, in my little bubble of people, all I've seen was good well wishes. Like, I was sitting there, like, I was laughing and made a joke about, like, people writing out dissertations to DMX. I was like, I don't think he's going to see any of that, but okay, but probably just the wrong time. too soon. But I don't expect white people to get it. I don't even look for it anymore.
But so, you sit there and cry about your child being an opioid, part of an opioid.
Yeah.
And you expect us
it's
to feel
the same,
but you're not.
Yeah,
about the crack epidemic, like it's two sides of the same coin.
Right, it's the same for me. I get it. It's the same. It's an addiction. Like I said previously, addiction and mental health are like same for me. It's because I've seen it in my family. I've seen it, and I wouldn't say I've experienced it, but I've seen it in my family firsthand. And it's something that that's a lifelong thing that you deal with. That's not something that you just get over. And I remember him being on Iyanla Van Zandt. He was just, for him to be, him being a Sagittarius, he was just so hell-bent on, like, not accepting what she had to offer. And, like, for me, that just indicated, like, he wasn't ready to heal himself. Like, he's still dealing with a lot, and I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. I hope he goes through. I hope his family and his children are okay. And I know he doesn't have the best relationships with them, but I just hope that they're able to process what's going on and what's happening right now. It's scary.
Yeah. I mean, prayers up to a legend, you know. But let's get on to the shows. So the way we do the shows is I have an idea, Victoria have an idea, and we just switch off. So this show is my idea, and it triggered simply because of the listen to Black Messiah recently coming out. And I realized that white people don't, they're not excited as we are, or they will look over our stories, whether it be in music, television, books, they will tend to act like they don't know or they don't look interested. And I really started to pay attention. And this is one of the reasons why I've said I would never be in another relationship with a white woman, is because the girls that I were dating, they were interested in me, but they weren't interested in the culture. So there were shows like when I was dating a white girl, when what's the show that was a movie, Dear White People, when that came out. And I really was excited to see it. And the girl that I was with was like, I'm not really sure. And I started to see that music wise, it was, you know, she didn't really listen to anything unless it was something that, you know, I was driving it with my car. That wasn't her first choice. If it was any type of TV show, she would kind of veer away. And so I started noticing that you love a black man to lady, but you don't love my culture. So you're not really loving who I am, you know. And so
that's how I feel about men, period.
Yeah, you can.
That's how I feel about men. Oh, continue. My bad. I digress.
I started looking at just certain things, like, for instance, the whole Rocky series. As you know, Michael B. Jordan brought it back with Creed. So with that, the ratings for each movie, Creed was the most critically acclaimed. The second critically acclaimed was Rocky. And then after that was Creed 2. Everything else was less than both Creed 1 and Creed 2. That's Rocky 2 through Rocky Balboa, which was
15? Technically 6. Okay. That's a lot of Rockies. Yeah. First thing I know.
But are you saying that there's these two movies that stack up as the best, and then one that actually stacks up in between those two, but yet they didn't make as much money except for Rocky Balboa, that was a DVD release, so that doesn't really count. But worldwide, they didn't make the type of money that the other Rocky movies made. So you're saying that there's a better movie, yet less people are going to see this. And, you know, all of that, when it came down to the award season, Rocky won Best Picture and Best Director. It had nominated Sylvester for the actor, they had it nominated for Best Actress. Supporting actor, and then after that, nothing got nominated until Creed came along. But the only nomination that they had was Sylvester Stallone for supporting actor. So we're still celebrating that white part of the story. And it's just to look at that, you know, I don't know a black person who hasn't watched Creed yet, but I know
who hasn't watched Creed.
You know, and and it, even when like Black Panther, when Chadwick Boseman passed, like a lot of black people took that hard. But I saw one of my white friends say, dang, the dude who played Black Panther died. And was like, what? Like, nah, Chadwick Boseman, like, like I'm like, these people, you know, people that could like say his name. Like, it's just these people, it's not, it doesn't mean as much. And to me, I think it reflects, I think there's a lot of things that it reflects, but I think mostly what it means to me is I'm scared that it would lose, we aren't going to end up losing out in the long run.
We're going to lose what? In the
we'll end up losing out on the long run.
Why do you think,
I mean, we'll think get so? That. I guess I'll have to explain it. But I just want to ask, like, why do you think they don't watch our stories?
I mean, I guess the same reason why I don't watch this. Like, I don't relate to this shit. Like, they don't, there's no relation. Like, I don't, I think I, for me, like, I don't really watch TV or movies anymore. I might watch something. It might be like a one-off or something that I really want to see and it seems interesting, but I just don't have the time or like interest of watching movies because I feel like a lot of the movies is just the same old stories. Like I've seen enough leading white men to action movies in my life. I'm good on I'm good on all the Jason Stathams and I don't even know the rest them names, but I know I've watched enough of them to know that they're Bruce Willis, like Tom Cruise. They're all the it's the same. So for me, the reason why I don't watch it is because I can't relate to it. And that was my gripe about Tom and Jerry is that they're like I can't see myself in this movie. Like I don't know. I've never seen a movie where someone just like a black woman just come off the street and just kind of like did not have any experience. It's just like I get the whole millennial thing, but I just couldn't relate to it. And then I mean it was a good movie for the kids, but it was and funny because it was a comedy. But as far as relation and I'm not watching it again. So maybe that's the reason why that they don't watch our movies or don't. It doesn't hit the same way because we really don't have a range of content. So when we do get something, we cling on to it. And I don't really think that that's the most healthiest thing because just, and a lot of people I guess think that just because I don't watch white content, well I do, but they think that I just like only black movies. That's not the case. It's like I don't watch Power. I don't care to see it was another like Harriet it doesn't relate and it doesn't seem interesting so I would assume that's and I don't like assuming but I guess we really have to ask somebody that's white why
but I mean Friends is one of the highest rated shows and I know a lot of black people who watch Friends.
Yeah.
I don't see why
it's
Living Single, which it was based off.
I mean, we have no choice. They're everywhere. Like, it's really, like on Friday night, watching TGIF, there was my kids watching Disney. They only watch white. I gripe about it all the time, about them only watching white shows, but that's it. That's a lot of Disney content. They only have, they have Casey Undercover and Raven, and Raven has what's the chick name? Chelsea on the show is her sidekick. So it's not like, and even I think Casey Undercover had a white side chick. So it's not many options. So we don't have any choice but to watch their stuff. They don't have. I mean, they have options. They can not watch it. So that may be the reason they don't even think about it.
But we had options back then. Friends and Living Single were coming on the same nights back then. Watch Friends in my 20s. I was watching Living Single and Martin.
I watched both.
At the same time? DVR wasn't that bad. Wasn't that...
VCR? I mean, we had multiple TVs, too. We was kind of broke, but we wasn't that broke.
But I didn't even know about Friends at that time. So, yeah, I wasn't checking for them. So... Okay, so you're saying that can be a reason. What about white guilt? Do you think that could be a reason?
I don't even think it's white guilt. I think it's oblivion. Like, I think that they're so detached from, a lot of people are so, they have the privilege of being detached from racism and being even questioned about like it even to being an issue. So I don't think it's white guilt.
But that's what I'm saying. You detach yourself from that history.
I think that's privilege.
I had the same conversation with a friend of mine who's in a relationship. He's married to a white woman. And
it's still a relationship.
I'm just saying it's more than just a relationship. They have children who are biracial. And he said, even when they first started dating, she was still interested in those type of movies. She, to her now though, is more important because it might not be her story, but it's her children's story. So it is closely related. And I noticed that out of my friends, the ones that will go and they will watch Just Mercy or Judas and the Black Messiah, they're ones that have a family member. You know, they're part of a family who is Black. So it's kind of, you have to kind of learn that because that's not, it might not be your history, but it's related to the history of people that you love. So that's why I think they're aware sometimes, but I have that power to separate myself. So why should I submit myself to this?
I mean, yeah, I guess that could be the case. And I guess with those people though, they have a direct, like they have a response. I feel like those people have a responsibility to know that type of stuff because there's somebody in their family or there's somebody that they care about that's bringing it to them. In my opinion, the average white person that does not have somebody in their family that's Black or somebody that they care about or a friend, like I don't think that these people are being pushed because it's so convenient to be oblivious and have that privilege that's a part of white. I don't like calling white supremacy anymore, white extremism, to be able to have that privilege to just not be aware of that. So I can see why people that have a relative or a loved one or a significant other, why they would, as a Black person, I would hope that they hold these people responsible. I've seen just about anything when it comes to that. So I don't know.
Okay, I got a quick question. What about us who don't watch that stuff?
Me? What's up? I feel called out.
Who won't? No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying somebody who will say that's too heavy for me.
Yeah, that's me. I didn't watch Harriet and had 12 Years of Slaves because I had no interest in being that heavy. Like but I don't.
Saying our story in general.
Our stories are heavy. That's what they are though.
But why would you not want to take that in, learn about it? It's what made us who we are.
I'm good. I've made a commitment to not watch any more struggle Black movies. If you about to struggle like it's that show on HBO, I may disturb you or this may disturb you or something with Michaela chick from off of Bubblegum on Netflix. I forget her name. But apparently the movie, like the series is really good and it's talking about how women and getting like their relationship with men and like date raping and all this stuff. And I'm just like, I hear all this stuff and I was like, wow, that's great that it's on screen. But I don't want to watch it. I stayed away from it because it is so heavy because life itself is too heavy. When I watch TV and stuff, I want to be entertained. I don't want to be triggered. And that's just me.
Okay, so, all right, Wrinkle in Time. Ava DuVernay, biggest budget given to a Black woman, female director. Nobody went and watched that?
I mean, if you don't have kids, I can see why. Or you didn't read the book. I read the book and have children, so I watched it. And it was great, actually.
But it bombed.
You said what?
It bombed at the box office. Yeah, they lost $186 million.
Racism! I don't know. I don't have the answer for you. I was thinking racism or Black. I don't know because we tried to take girls and that didn't pan out because we just felt like we took boys. I remember we took some kids to go see Black Panther, but we were supposed to do The Wrinkle in Time because it came out right after Black Panther, and it just didn't pan out. And I don't know.
But that's
I don't know.
Panther is the only in the top 10 highest grossing films. It is the only movie with a black lead actor.
I mean, I guess it's still sexism also. Like, people don't want to, it's not, I think it's layered with the racism. It's also sexism. People still think that, because you know, with Ava DuVernay, when she directs, she has a 50-50 staff. 50% is male, 50% is female. So, people still have a hard time digesting that women can do anything. Like, so I think, I don't know. I think that's a bad, for this topic, I think that's a bad example.
I'm just saying
not the best example.
Yeah, I'm just saying Black Panther is the only one listed in the top 10. There's no other movie with a black lead or majority black cast that's been as profitable.
Mm.
I mean, Avatar is number two, and those people were blue.
Yeah. Steven Spielberg stole that story from a black lady, apparently. I don't know how true that is, but that's what the internet says. Beyonce's internet says. I don't know. I don't ever concern myself. I've gotten to the space in my life that I don't concern myself with. I only concern myself with people that I'm trying to reach. Anybody else, just not my people. White people are just not my people. I don't concern myself with it. I can see why you would, but I don't know. I think we should have brought a white person on today to ask. That would have been a lovely conversation.
I don't know none that's brave enough. So what I was saying is how it affects us in the long run. Like, do you think that this affects our equity in these industries?
I don't think it affects our equity. What I do think that the higher ups in Hollywood or wherever have you will use that as an excuse not to produce black content. I really don't think that it is a direct reflection of, the need. I don't think it's a direct reflection of the need. Because you got to think, before COVID, fucking movie tickets were like $50. Like, who was going to be, like, that was a luxury to even go to the movies. I wasn't taking my kids to no damn movie. We're going to wait till they come out on the Red Box or one of these streaming apps, because that's a luxury. Remember, I spent like $50 on tickets.
But you wouldn't see Black Panther because you knew the money would go to that. So you're going to support.
But it's not just because of Black Panther. I like Marvel, period. Like, I've been watching, that was something, like, I read The Wrinkle in Time maybe once when I was a kid, but Black Panther, I've watched X-Men when I was a child. I've watched Iron Man. I watched every Marvel movie, Blade, and yeah, I watched everything except for Winter Soldier. I still have not been able to get jiggy with Winter Soldier, and it's because it's a white man. Like, I ain't gonna sit here and fret. It's because it's a white man action movie.
Spend the money. That's what I'm saying. People are gonna spend the money regardless of whether the price is too high or not. If they want to do it, they're gonna do it.
I guess, but I guess, yeah, if they want to.
Because I feel like this, like, with Living Single, they were canceled in 5 years. Friends ended after 10 years. You know, like, if somebody's not bringing in that money, that value, what's the opportunity? What are the opportunities going to be later? If we're the minority, how many opportunities can we continue to give it ourselves when we are the lesser?
Mm-hmm.
Right, they say
people care enough.
Median at a time. yet white comedians are all over the place. They always get their movie shot. Right now, we on Kevin Hart. But I think it affects it as far as the opportunities. I think right now we're seeing where we can make our opportunities. But like I said, we're still the minority, so we're not going to have as much of the reach as if you were backed by a major, you know, Warner Brothers or Paramount, somebody like that.
Well, I know, like, what's the studio that Michael B. Jordan works with? Is it Warner Brothers? Starts with a W. Maybe it's Warner Brothers. They're doing a good job of bringing out black movies, and they're doing a great job about actually. Let me see. I think it's Warner Brothers. I want to be sure before I start talking about it. Go ahead.
But that's the thing. If they're doing it now and it doesn't make money, are they going to continue to do it?
I would hope so. Yeah, it is Warner Brothers. I would hope so.
We pass hope, though.
I mean, what can you do, though?
I'm just taking my white friends to all the movies, and whether they like it or not, they're just going to have to watch it.
Okay. That's an option also.
Hey. I'll watch it if you watch Madea.
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't even like watching out some black. Oh, I like Madea. I'm not even gonna sit here front. Like, I don't like and watch Tyler Perry. I don't watch his TV shows. I just can't stomach to get through them. But Madea specifically movies, like I can do that. Even though I don't like men dressing up as women. That's the only man I would watch dressing up like a woman and be okay.
I just ain't saying he ain't got to do that no more. But all right, we're going to end this conversation. But I want to ask before we do you think that we really can be a united nation without learning about each other's cultures or stories?
I think that's a lofty goal for Americans. I think that's way too high on the goal standard. I think first they need to reconcile with slavery. Like, that happened. Y'all owe us
a story. How are you going to start that?
I don't even think is that getting the story out is unimportant at this time. The government knows what they did. The government knows how they handled their situation. They need to run us that check. Like, when we get to that part, then I think that, like, cause if we don't, that's with anything, if you don't address the root of the issue, there's really, how can you really say that we're progressing and being some type of united nation? Like, I think it would be lovely to learn about other people's cultures. And I think, but at the same time, I also think that separation and us learning about our own culture and teaching our own culture is essential also. So before we can get to a united nation, can we get united with ourselves? Like,
that's the thing though. Don't they always say, keep your friends closer. You want to know who your enemy is.
But that they know who we are. We don't know who we are.
They don't know the why. They don't know the why we do certain things.
I don't know if I agree with that.
They don't know the why. But white people, then they know about us.
Okay.
I just feel like that's the thing. Like, and I'm not saying that we got to learn about, they have to learn about slavery, whatever, but it's like, you can't sit there and look at Fred Hamilton and only see Black Panther. No, you need to look at the Rainbow Coalition, what he did with that. Like, you can't dismiss that off of one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. And I think, especially with how we do with culture, I was having a conversation about Dr. Seuss. You know, they took some of his works away. Okay, if in Bill Cosby case, you took everything away. You took the Cosby Show away. You took A Different World. If there's certain things that offended, take the offensive part out. When it comes to Black people, they don't just take the offense, they take everything out. So it's, we don't want any type of legacy. And so it's, you still need to know certain whys and hows. And I don't think the white America isn't, they're not willing to learn that. So I believe in separate but equal until that's done.
Yeah, I think separate, I don't even know about equal, equity. Equity is needed just because, human.
Separate equal pretty much means that we're provided, we have the same means, but we're just separate.
No, for equal and equity is different. Like, you can pass out checks to everybody, stimulus checks to everybody, but it's certain people that have the knowledge to know it's all to go and invest the money. And there's other people out here that's going to just run it up, like to throw it in that strip club. Equity means that everybody has the same opportunity to know what to do with the money. Like, everybody is taught, like, okay, now you got this money. This money is also coming with a lesson plan, like, and we're not just giving it just in a video. We got it in audio. We got it in text. We got it, like, it's ranging. We got it in Braille for every way you think you can learn it. We got it, and we're going to distribute it out to everybody, so everybody have the access to it. That's equity.
Yeah,
that's equality.
That was the definition of what separate but equal was for.
I mean, words matter, especially in law. Words matter, especially in law. So, I mean, I get it. Especially in law, words matter. So, like I said, I don't want equality. I want equity. Like, and that's just because I'm a human, period.
Yeah.
Equality as far as, like, rights and all the other, like, equal rights. I don't want to be working 80 hours like a man. Like, send my ass home, but let me be back home barefoot in the kitchen without somebody baby. Like, that's what equality.
That ain't gonna happen.
Please. Fuck the feminists that thought that was shit was cool. Like,
ain't got nothing to do with it. Ain't got something to do with the price of living and wages going. But all right, so what do you have to add to this when we talk?
I mean, white people, I feel like this is my first time in a long time, and my probably last time addressing white people. if you want to not have some type of overthrown of the country, like, I feel like at certain point, like, the head, hopefully the head is gonna pop, and the whole capitalistic system is get popped because it's not working for anybody, not even, it's only working for the rich. And a lot of white people are not rich. A lot of y'all are not rich. So if you actually did a little digging and research, you'll see that it will benefit you all to learn about other things. If you're closed off, then I don't, like, how are you gonna grow as a person with anything if you're not learning and you're not getting more information? If you're stuck on just what you know, then you're going to be obsolete. Like, I don't know if that's the right word to use right there, but you're going to die off eventually. Like, nature's going to have its way, and you're going to die off if you're not growing. So that's my only two cents for the white people. For Black people, learn about your shit. Learn about self and you don't, I'm not going to guilt you like Trey going to get you to watching them heavy ass movies. Don't do it. We have too much trauma. It's too much trauma. It's triggering. Nobody wants to see that. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Nobody wants to see it.
We go to like show, you know, when.
Stop making trigger movies and struggle black movies.
Black Messiah was out on HBO Max. Every show we went to, did they not say this is something everybody should watch?
Which one?
Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yeah, I think that everybody should have watched that. And yeah, only because it was made by black people and they did their due diligence.
They can't, they still say, oh, I can't watch that type of movie. And it's like, it's not a slave.
I mean, yeah, no, I did say that we should watch it, but it was heavy because I spent like days after, weeks after that, like it was heavy. I had to admit it was pretty heavy. So I can get it if it was too heavy for you, because it was definitely that, because I dive deep into the psychological things. Yeah, it's deep. I'm not even gonna hold nobody. Yeah, I think that people should, as far as historical, but as far as mental reasons, I don't think it is triggering, especially for black men and black women. That it was a lot.
We have a lot of brothers and sisters out here that are very surface level, and they refuse to watch things of that nature. And they
that's America, period, though. That's what I'm saying. I don't think nobody, I don't think a lot of people care, black or white. Numbers reflect it.
We need to hold ourselves accountable, though.
I guess. You can only hold yourself accountable. That is it.
That's what I'm saying. I take it on myself to say, hey, I need to watch this. I need to know about this.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, would I have spent, like, a $15 ticket to go see Judas the Black Messiah or do like I did with Black? Nah, I don't know.
Yeah, you would have.
I was almost against it. I think Jay-Z was the reason why, Jay-Z and Nipsey song was the reason why I was like, okay, never mind. I'm horrible. I almost was against it because I didn't want to watch it because of the heaviness. But I digress.
You is silly, man. All right. Do we do the spotlight or the top five first?
I mean, it's our world, guys. Do what we want to do.
Let's do, like, let's leave them light notes. So let's do the spotlight first. So spotlight is, we're back to Sagittarius. Y'all know how we do here. And so the spotlight that we're going for is, a lot of people might not know who this is, but this is Scott Joplin. He was born in 1868 on November 24th. This was almost certainly incorrect, but back in the day, they didn't really have, you know, birth certificates. So that became his official or unofficial date of birth. But he is known as the King of Ragtime, which was a style of music that was very big at the time. The reason that I chose him is because he died in 1917. However, he was not given credit until 1973, until the film The Sting featured his compositions, most notably The Entertainer, which was actually performed by another pianist. And that's when it received worldwide airplay. And he was also awarded the Pulitzer Prize in 1976. This is almost 75 years after his death. But he was born of former slaves. And during his career, he wrote over 100 ragtime pieces, a ballet, and two operas. His first and most popular piece is called The Maple Leaf Rag. It became ragtime's first and most influential hit and has been recognized as the archetypal rag. He grew up in a musical family of railway laborers in Texarkana, Arkansas, and developed his own musical knowledge with the help of local teachers. He formed a vocal quartet and taught mandolin and guitar. And during the late 1880s, he left his job as a railroad laborer and traveled to America South as an itinerant musician. And he went to Chicago for the World's Fair of 1893 and played a major part in making ragtime a national craze by 1897. So this is the reason I picked him is because he's someone who we didn't give him his flowers while he was alive. He was not appreciated at the time. Of course, we know what was going on at that time. But he was one of those unsung, you know, influencers in his genre. And that was not, I mean, that was taken from him during his life. And he ended up giving it, you know, not being given his flowers until way after he passed and wasn't here. But it's just, it's crazy. Like he died at 48 years old and pretty much didn't see as much as a dime of what he created. Which ragtime, of course, is not as popular today in 2021, but it was very big in America during between the 1910s to 1950. So just another creative Sagittarius doing his thing no matter what.
Okay. I did not know who that was.
Hey,
history lesson.
Like I said, it's nothing we listen to, but you know they always say we develop something and then it's stolen from us.
That's interesting.
But let's. Whole city going crazy. Top five, no debating. Top five. Get to our top five. So. In with an association with the show, we're gonna go to the top five movies or TV shows that each of us love. This isn't like what we figure are the best or the, you know, top rated or anything like that. It's just personally what our top five are. So you wanna go first?
Okay, I can.
Okay, mine aren't in any type of order, so.
Yeah, no, mine's not in any order, but number one. So I guess I could do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I don't know how this works still. So five, I thought I had it. Oh, I didn't know. I didn't count TV shows, but I'm glad you said it because hold on. Oh, I'll just start. I think Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay, well, see, all right, that's on my list too, so we can both get that off.
Okay, so, cool. Most of the rest of mine are movies.
Okay, but why, pick Fresh Prince stuff.
Fresh Prince because I think, Fresh Prince and The Cosby Show, so yeah. Fresh Prince because of the comedy, I love comedy, that's how, if I'm going to watch TV or a movie, that's my go-to, comedy. Will is hilarious. The whole family was hilarious. It was like the Cosby's, but more relatable, even though I've never seen a lawyer. And I don't even know what Vivian is. Vivian was a professor, and the old Aunt Viv was a professor. The new Aunt Viv, I don't know what she did. I don't recall her actually working. But Fresh Prince. Who?
She still was a professor.
Oh, I don't remember. Yeah. I just think that.
So she was saying that she was a professor in college.
Okay. I just remember it being the most hilarious show. It was impactful. It gave you a different type of. Dang, I didn't even think about TV shows because I got the Wayans Brothers. Can I do five of each?
This your world.
This is my world. So I got. I'm just running. So I got Fresh Prince, The Cosby Show, A Different World, The Wayans Brothers Show, and In Living Color. And In Living Color wasn't all the way black, but it was black. It was created by Akida Ivory Wayans because it was impactful to my life personally because I used to watch it. My mom, sketch comedy was just our thing in our household. We watched Whose Line Is It Anyway? I watched Mad TV. I watched Saturday Night Live growing up. Like, that was just something that we did. And in Living Color, seeing people that look like me and seeing Jamie Foxx and that Wanda, oh my God. And Damon and I won't call him Donald for some reason, but it's not it. But I see his face, like, hated it. I just remember that's only four. And I guess Gullah Gullah Island. Gullah Gullah Island was the shit. And wait, my brother, it's so many. I have so many. I saw out the black shows. My brother and me, Gullah Gullah Island, and Living Color, and Wayne's Brothers, like, the shit for me. But as far as movies, The Wood is number one for me, because that's, like, my favorite movie of all time. It's fucking hilarious. I know it backwards and forwards. Like, I quote it often in just random speech. That Friday, Love Jones. Oh God, Five Heartbeats. I should have wrote this down. I forget. Oh my goodness. It was another one. I want to say Boomerang, but I don't think it's Boomerang. I'll say Boomerang for right now. I'll be mad when I remember it. But yeah, The Wood. It's my favorite movie of all time.
All right. Well, like I said, I combined them. I had Fresh Prince too. And like you said, like, it was kind of between that and Cosby Show. But the thing about Cosby Show is, I think that was, I don't want to say it was not obtainable. It was just kind of just too perfect. With Fresh Prince, you kind of got that, the blackness, you know what I'm saying? The both sides of it. You got the successful, and then with Will, you got the coming from
Carlton.
Yeah.
It was very well rounded. It showed both sides.
And I love the comedy. Like, Will's comedic timing in Fresh Prince is, for somebody who never acted in his life, like, it was amazing. But
never acted or never did any stand-up comedy either.
You know, they just was like, we're gonna make this show. Like, he had no other training, so it was amazing that he could do that. But the love that he had for them, you know, he loved Ashley like Carlton should have loved Ashley. Like, the bond that he shared not being one of theirs, that showed, like, how black families are. You know, it's, that's my cousin. You know, he wasn't a stepson and nothing like that. He was just a cousin, and that's how we are. Like, your cousin is basically your siblings in black families. So that's what got it in my top five. And of course, I had the Five Heartbeats like you did, simply because Five Heartbeats' story was so good that people actually thought it was based on a real group.
That's the motherfucking classic right there. My mom had that and Temptation. Like, are you going back on the rig? Like, you tell that dude was from Baltimore because that accent, the root. I was like, the root? The road, my cheek?
People actually was like, the Five Heartbeats is real. Like, no.
I got nothing but love, man.
And the sound, yeah.
Five Heartbeats.
Yes. But then I had, it was funny because you said my brother and me, but I put Keenan and Kel. And I recently started watching it back. It's on Paramount.
Keenan was a jackass. I did not like how he treated Kel. I did not like how he treated him.
Even though they, you know, Kel played the dumb one or whatever, like, the Keenan always, in every episode, he was determined to do whatever he had to do. They weren't criminals. You know, they weren't thugs. It was just, they were teenagers. And it was real, you know, it was really based on just being teenagers. And it wasn't like, you know, oh, what kind of hijinks? The hijinks that they were getting was what teenagers wanted to get into. It was very relatable to, at the time, what kids were wanting. You know, he wanted to get the girl and, you know, the stuff like that. It was, to me, it was, for the time being, it was very representative, you know, and what Kenan had the dreads, you know, Kale would always have the backwards hat. It represented us, but not in a negative way. Both came from good families, you know, so I just liked it. Like, as far as representation, it did a good job of it. And then, of course, Black Panther, I don't even need to explain why. it was just revolutionary, but different world. And I think for you to affect people into going into HBCUs at the rate after this show came out speaks volumes of what representation actually can do.
Yeah, because I swore I was going to Spelman. And it was a Black man that taught me out of it. So one of my friend's dads was like, you go to a HBCU? He's like, I would never let my daughter go to HBCU because that's not the real world. And I was like, I was really looking forward to going. And I didn't. And I chose a predominantly white school. And I was so disappointed.
It told about the experience, and that's what college is for everyone. Whether you go to a predominantly white school or a historically Black college, it's all about the experience. And every person that I've spoken to that's went to a historically Black college, that's something that they wouldn't change because that it was such a big part of their makeup. I mean, there's nothing like it. So just the fact that Cosby had took that idea and put it into action and showed the world what that experience was, and it actually, you know, made people do it. It's just a powerful show. So that's my top five.
I did the most with everything per usual. It's okay. I'm okay with that.
Well, hit us up. Let us know what y'all top five is. I would love to see everybody's, you know, responses to that. Because like y'all say, the discussion is always going to continue. It doesn't stop when the podcast stops. But it's been a great show. I finally got to get on. Yes.
Yeah, we're going to try. I'm going to try my best to, like, Sunday I'm sitting down and actually creating a schedule. So I'm going to do my best. As a Sagittarius, being impulsive is like my thing, and I thrive in it. And it's in but last week I did not thrive. I burnt my ass out. So I'm going to make sure that we get this on a regular schedule, back on a regular schedule for now at least.
We enjoy doing this show, so it's not something that we feel is a job.
Right.
But any closing statements you want to make?
Oh no, be great. Even in the pandemic, like if you're having a hard time, I promise it's not joy gonna come in the morning. If you God, I'm hungry. I'm looking at the thing. I get so easily distracted. It's so bad. But if you're having a bad time in the pandemic still, like, joy will come in the morning. And if you're not having a bad time, it's summer is almost here. Let's have a great hot girl summer, people.
That's it. Yeah, I'm gonna just let y'all have that. I'll see y'all in.
You have no choice.
Hey.
We taking it.
Hey, I seen that Sweetie and Doja Cat video. I'm good. Y'all can have your hot girl summer.
What's wrong with the Sweetie and Doja Cat video?
Nothing. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Big this summer, I'm good.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to Meg for winning that Grammy too.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Queen B, did she? Yeah, she pulled a hell of a lot.
I was about to say who?
Really?
Yeah.
Remember, I guess in all this, what I wanted to do with the show is just, you know, know that we is it's a lot for us to watch our stuff. But remember that, you know, what you choose to do can affect stuff in the outcome in the long run. So when you see a Black-owned business, even if you don't, you know, you don't necessarily have to tell somebody that, but you can have a white friend say, hey, their food is delicious, you know.
Of course.
More. So we do need their money. Money is green. That color is going to be the least racist out of
all. Most definitely. That's the thing. Yeah, we most definitely need the coins. And I don't think that there's nothing wrong with getting the money. So if anybody don't let, they're like, oh, you got to be pro-Black. No, you don't have to be pro-Black. You got to be pro yourself. And that goes to, I mean, if white people, like I said, white people don't want to, but if they want to or don't want to, that's fine. But I think that people that are in the higher ups still have a responsibility to serve everybody, not just one people. And as long as you're not hurting anybody, I don't see any issue with you just being about your kind.
For real.
That's just my opinion.
But that's what it is. Love yourself first and love others next. That's all I gotta say.
All right, peace.
Peace.
Believe in yourselves. Dream. Try. Do good.
Don't you mean do well?
No, I mean do good. Do good.